Okay. So the scripture is Ruth 1, verses 1 to 18. I've read this so much in the past week. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other named Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord has turned has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. And then we go to Ruth 2, verses 8 to 12. "So Boaz said to Ruth, 'My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and drink from the jars of water the men have filled.' At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, 'Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?' Boaz replied, 'I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. How you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, as I was praying over this sermon, my key theme got a bit lost. Because it's been a bit of a week, and I think it's been a bit of a week for everyone. I believe God wants us to be thinking about our priorities and what we place our value in during this message. So I pray that the Lord really speaks into your hearts what he really wants you as an individual to hear this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so there are a couple of purposes to the book of Ruth. It is a historical book for the purpose of recording Israel's history. It's also a story of redemption, with Boaz being a Christ-like redeemer. Another being to show how three people remain strong in character and true to God. For those of you who are not familiar with Ruth, it is based, as mentioned, on three characters, Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. Naomi was married to Elimelech, and they had two sons. The story does not start well. Elimelech makes a decision to uproot his family and leave Bethlehem to go to Moab because of famine. We start with a man and his family running away from their problems, basically, and from God. They're taking what would seem the easier route. I would like to pick up on the fact that Bethlehem actually translates as house of bread. And Moab translates as what father? Bethlehem, I feel like this is significant, but Bethlehem, although in a time of famine, is where God's people dwell and where God's presence dwells. Elimelech and Naomi moving from there, I think, is perhaps more than just following food supply. This is them saying, I do not accept your judgment on Judah to God. This is them saying, I don't trust you, God, so I'm going to make my own way. They turn their backs on God and his people, and they go to the land that translates, what father? I don't know if this is purposeful on Elimelech and Naomi's part or not, but this is a time where names held significance and meaning beyond our modern understanding of language. We cannot even fathom the meaning of some of the words. Moabites are the ancient adversaries of Israel. They are descendants of Lot, who is Abraham's nephew. They descend from an act of sexual immorality and deceit. Naomi and their sons could literally not turn further away from Israel, is the point I'm basically trying to make. Now, I kind of feel like I have to be really honest here. As I was studying Ruth this time around, I realised I've always read this book with a really judgmental heart. I never really got Naomi's character as being good and noble and honest. I always looked at it like this. She ran away from her problems and then blamed God when it all went wrong. She has a pity party and she admits that she's bitter. It's all right. I've always been like, you kind of brought it on yourself. And God really spoke to me about the state of my heart while prepping this sermon, which is always a very humbling experience. And he gave me new insights that have challenged me and really led me to repent of my hard and sometimes very judgmental heart. So I just felt like at this point, I'd really like to just take a moment to sort of hand that over. If we could all just sort of take a moment to close our eyes and hand our hearts over to God and ask him to forgive us any judgments we have made on people and ask him to reveal something new to you in this message. While you do that, I'm going to read a prayer that I saw on good old Facebook today. So I'll do that now. Dear Lord, I kneel down before you at this moment. Please enlighten what is dark in me. Strengthen what is weak in me. Mend what is broken in me. Heal what is sick in me. And revive whatever peace and love that died in me. This is also my prayer for my loved ones, my family, my friends, and even those who hate me. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So, when in Moab, Naomi experiences her first heartbreak. Her husband dies. We don't know how, why, when, any of that. It just says he dies. But then her sons marry. Okay, they're Moabite women, and this may have turned a few heads, but you know, this is still a joyous occasion. They're married, her sons have got wives, so the family line's going to go on. She's still doing all right. But then, both her sons die without bearing any children. If Naomi hadn't abandoned all hope and faith before, she did have good reason to now. But we see very soon coming up that she did not turn completely away from God, although I imagine she would have thought this has happened because God had turned his back on her. I'm not going to go into theological debates about that because I'm not qualified. But God doesn't work like that, as far as I'm concerned. We may turn our backs on the Lord sometimes, but he does not turn his back on us. We may step out of his will and favor of our lives, but he is always, always there, ready to embrace us when we turn back to him. Naomi, now a widow, hears that the famine in Bethlehem is over and decides to return to her homeland and to her God. En route to Bethlehem with her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, Naomi realizes that this is a seemingly bad idea for these Moabite women. So Orpah agrees to go back to her family, but Ruth is not having any of it. Ruth makes her decision to follow God. She says, "Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your God will be my God, and wherever you die, I'll die. Your people will be my people." Now, for me, this is a really poignant statement in this book. For Ruth to have such faith and loyalty to her mother-in-law and to God speaks into the faith and integrity that Naomi must have shown whilst in Moab. We don't know much about Naomi and her thoughts on leaving Bethlehem in the first place, but we do know that she remained in her faith upon return, albeit she believes God has turned his back on her. In Ruth 1, verse 20, it says, "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter." I have grown to love Naomi's honesty here. See, you can love the Lord, but believe that he doesn't love you. In Romans 8, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." I'd like to also add that it's also really possible to be angry with God and still trust him. It's a weird balance, but it's true. How many of us do you think would be as honest as Naomi here? I tend to think we're all very good at pretending everything's okay. Now, you might be able to pretend that you're okay to your friends, to your family, maybe even your pastor or your prayer partner, but you can't pretend you're okay to God. And you won't get any breakthrough moments trying to be. Now, I'm not telling you to go around blaspheming, because that's really not going to do you any favours. But in order for our relationship with our Heavenly Father to flourish, we must have integrity in our relationship with him. It has to be real. It has to be raw, warts and all. Otherwise, it's just a plastic relationship. He will simply remain a distant acquaintance, rather than the counselor, friend, brother, redeemer, provider. I mean, I could go on. That he longs to be to you. Now, I know that we've talked loads about the changes we're facing as a church family, changes that have been thrust upon us unwanted, but I have found this past couple of weeks actually to be the most difficult since the passing of Trevor. It dawned on me last Friday evening at the launch event. The absence of my friends was really felt. I didn't quite realise how much I felt it until I was there. And I realised that I was going to have to form new relationships, which really scares the bleep out of me. I find forming relationships really difficult. I've got trust issues. I'm a bit socially awkward in new circles. And I really don't like small talk. Just no. And I had started to put my guard back up. I was thinking there's no one here that that has seen me at my worst and therefore knows how far I've come. But then my beautiful friends at Oasis reminded me that my anchor is in God. Our worst does not scare God. Our worst does not scare the one who knitted us in our mother's womb and who has counted the hairs on our head. And for me, as I was preparing this sermon, that's what I got taught. Whatever you're hearing, I think everyone needs to hear that. Anyway, back to Ruth and her loyalty and love for her mother-in-law and God. To decide to stay with Naomi showed bravery and integrity that the best of us would find hard. To help us understand how big this decision was, we need to understand that this was a really dark time in the history of Israel. It was the time of the judges. I'm not going to give you a history lesson here. Go and look it up. The judges were supposed to be intercessors for God at this time, and God's people as a whole were not really being like God's people, basically. Ruth would not have been welcome in Bethlehem, and Naomi could only really provide so much protection. She would have had no chance of marriage and therefore security. She was open to abuse from men and women alike. And we know this because Boaz, when he initially meets Ruth, he says, "I have warned the men not to lay a hand on you." The fact that the men needed to be told this kind of speaks volumes into the risks she faced as a young foreign widower. As for the women, I think we can assume on some level that she was shunned. She was a pagan from Moab. She was young, and we know she was beautiful. A recipe to bring out the worst in some groups of women, I am sad to say. It's true. In spite of the risk she faced and the possibility of being an outcast, she joins her mother-in-law and settles in Bethlehem. Have you ever felt like an outsider? If you're a Jesus follower, I'd imagine that you can probably feel like an outsider quite a lot. Maybe you're the only Christian in your workplace. Maybe you're the only Christian in your school, in your family, in your university. This is where my mum cringes. I remember before I decided to follow Jesus, my mum was the only Christian in our family. And I was a bit mean about her faith. Mum would make certain decisions about the way she wanted to do life, and I would push back at every chance I had. I look back and think how hard it must have been to try and live right when no one really understood why. I want to encourage you, though, that if you do stand out in your secular, sort of non-Christian environments because you want to honour God by the way that you live, then you're probably doing a lot of things right. I mean, she must have done something right because I'm standing here now. So, people pleasing is not what we were created for. We were created for relationship with God, period. Ruth was a brave girl and she knew she needed to get food for Naomi and herself. So she asked Naomi if she could glean in the field, and it was the time of harvest, and gleaning is basically picking up leftover grain from the harvesters that they leave behind. This was part of Jewish law in order to be charitable to the poor, the orphan, the widow, etc. Ruth wasn't afraid of a bit of hard graft. God saw her heart and he provided for her. Consider this. If you are waiting for God to provide for you, maybe he is waiting for you to take the first step to see how important your need really is. Ruth's work in the field was not glamorous. To go and glean was to humble yourself and remove any pride that you clung to. The tasks God asks us to do are never as important as our attitude towards them. Colossians 3, verse 23, and I'm sure this is something that you most Christians know. It says, "Whatever you do, work it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters." I saw a cute Facebook post the other day. I'm not a Facebook addict, I promise. And it was talking about treating people in McDonald's, other fast food chains are available, shop assistants and cleaners, etc., with the same respect as you treat a CEO. Now, to me, this is obvious. I love the verse in Hebrews 13, verse 2, where it says, "Do not forget to show your hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." A little stark reminder for us all there. But here I kind of want to switch up this sentiment. Whether you do ironing for a living, you're the royal bottom wiper, or you're the CEO of a international bank, it's all irrelevant. How you do that job and the attitude you do that job with is what matters. With God, it's not what we do, it's why and how we do it. Now we come to our guardian redeemer, Boaz. When Boaz asked his workers, "Who does this woman belong to?" Feminism in me wants to go a bit crazy there, but I won't. The workers note Ruth's work ethic. In their response, they say, "She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." Now, I don't expect Ruth expected to be noticed in a positive way. She wasn't working to please, she was working to honour. It is because of her heart, humility, and integrity that she was noticed. Not just by Boaz and not just by his workers, but it's also why she was noticed by God and chosen to be the great-grandmother of King David. God providentially led Ruth to Boaz's field. Some might say that this could be a coincidence, but those of us who walk closely with Jesus will know that God is fine-tuning and working in the very minor detail of our lives. God had a plan for Ruth that went beyond anything humanly possible. Long story short, Boaz is a guardian redeemer. This is someone related to a widow who has the legal right to buy the widow's property. This also meant that the redeemer would inherit a widowed wife and become her husband to preserve the family name. Boaz wanted to redeem Ruth and take her as his wife for no other reason than we see in this book other than love for her. But there was a relative more closely related to Naomi and therefore trumped Boaz in line. Boaz did what any man with integrity would do here. He approached the elders and the relative and he laid it all on the table. The other redeemer was all for redeeming the property of the dead man, but when he found out he would have to take a wife, he changed his mind. Smart move, some might say. A legal transaction took place where Boaz redeemed Naomi's line. The story of Ruth is a representation of how we are redeemed by Christ and not the law. The legal transaction that took place had 10 elders, which represents the 10 commandments. The first redeemer represents the old covenant, and Boaz represents the new covenant of grace. I want to make it clear that although I have talked a lot about the characters and behavior of Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, that is not the focus here. It is in the integrity of their hearts and love for God and one another. That's what's important. In Luke 10:27, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." We do not get saved by our actions. Praise Jesus. We get saved when we turn our hearts to him and receive him as our Savior and our Redeemer. This story of redemption ends with Ruth conceiving a son with Boaz. This redemption was not about property or giving Naomi and Ruth a cushy life. This was about relationships. Relationships anchored in God. Naomi began this story with her husband and then two sons dying. Ruth came to Bethlehem a foreign widower with no respect or standing. Both women would still have been grieving their losses at this time, but it ends with love, marriage, new life. when we hold tightly to who God is, it helps us to see who he made us to be. He is the one who enables us to live with integrity, love, and faith. When we value our relationship with God above anything or anyone else, it will become evident in the way we live, in our relationships with each other. Amen.